last Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. Dear brothers and sisters all over the world, Assalamu alaikum and welcome to yet another edition from series of The Last Savior from IRIB English Radio. In this series of shows, we are trying to focus and concentrate on some doubts and misconceptions with regard to the concept of Mahdawiyya or Mahdism, the concept of the Last Savior, which is common concept among Abrahamic religions. All of us, to some extent, are waiting for the arrival and advent of the Last Savior. Inshallah, may Allah hasten his reappearance. And in this very show, we shall focus on a doubt which was posed by a scholar mentioning that the concept of Mahdawiyya in Shia Islam, in the school of Ahlul Bayt, actually is mixed with some Jewish, teachings, and actually it has been intermingled with Jewish issues. This is the topic of our discussion here with Islamic researcher Sheikh Murtada Karimi from Qom Seminary Schools. Sheikh, assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Many thanks for accepting the invitation, Sheikh. Sheikhuna, continuing our discussion on the doubts of Mahdawiyya, we have reached to this part that the person that we are actually analyzing his book, actually he's mentioning that he's using or employing a hadith or narration which says that a group from the nation of Musa alayhi salam, Moses the prophet, will help Mahdi, the last savior, at the time that he starts his revolution. And then he wants to actually enjoy this concept that some of the teachings of the Last Savior in Shia Islam, in the school of Ahlul Bayt, is mixed with Jewish teachings. We want to ask you to shed some light on this topic. Is there any hadith first mentioning such a thing? And then, can it also be that when all the world are going to be inclined toward the Imam, so is there going to be a distinction between if this person is Jew or the other person is Christian or the other person is, I don't know, following the other religion? So it is supposed to that all the world become one common unite ummah. So we'd be glad if you give us some information in this regard.
This Wahhabi scholar, in this part of his book, he has referred to four narrations, and he has claimed three things. One of them is the one that you mentioned, but let me refer to all the narrations that he refers to and all the claims that he has mentioned. He says that according to some of the narrations in Shia sources, the army of Mahdi, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, are from Ajam, non-Arabs, and they are 12,000 people. And Imam Mahdi gives them a special type of weapon, like a sword, and tells them that go and kill whoever does not have this weapon that you have. Another narration reads, according to this Wahhabi scholar, the companions of Mahdi, Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, are 313 men from Ajam. So in this part, he claims that all of the companions of the Imam, or a great number of them, are non-Arabs.
True.
The second issue is that he continues and says that according to a narration in Biharun Anwar, when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, he begins his uprising, 25 people from the nation, Qaum of Musa alayhi salam, they will come. They will help Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. They will judge among the people with justice. 25 people. And 7 people out of the people of the cave, Ashabul Kahf.
True.
And also the following, Joshua, the vicegerent of Moses, Mu'min al-Fir'aun, the famous believer at the time of Pharaoh, whose story has been mentioned in the Quran, Salman al-Farisi, Abu Dujan al-Ansari, and Malik al-Ashdar. So, referring to this narration, he claims that this shows the influence of the Jews among the companions of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. This is the second point.
Very true.
So he claims that, you see, there are different races among the Shia. Some of the Shia are Ajam, they are Iranian. So they have forged some narrations which talk about the influence of Ajam and the number of the Ajam among the army of and the companions of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. He claimed that some Jews, they have tried to afford some narrations to the effect that there are some people from the nation of Musa alayhi salam. And the third issue that he raises is the fact that he says some narrations in details, they have mentioned the names of the companions of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and even their nationality. For example, two people from Sham or Levant, whose names are Ibrahim bin Sabah and Yusuf bin Jariyah. And another person, Yusuf bin Attar from Damascus, Ibrahim bin Qassaf from another region. So his third claim is that, you see, the Shia, not only they have mentioned the nationality of the companions, but they have forged some narrations to claim that even they know the names of the companions of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So to begin with, as I mentioned, he has referred to four narrations in this part of his book. The first narration is weak. The second narration, which refers to the fact that Imam Mahdi's companions are 313 people from Hajam, again is weak. Of course, we have many narrations about the fact that the special companions of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam are 313, but they do not mention that all of them, they are Ajam or non-Arab.
Very true.
The third narration, again, is Mursal, is weak. And the last narration is also, which refers to the name of the companions of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, is weak. So four narrations, all of them are weak.
Very true.
Now, regarding...
So, Shaykhuna, this is not the way that a scholar dives into a research thing. Like, even a person, I don't know, a fresh student, when he wants to start to write his thesis, he knows that he has to refer to the reliable and valid sources. So let's have a short break. After that, we shall get back again to discussion. Dear listeners, stay tuned. We'll be back in a few seconds.
Wherever you be.
Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters, to The Last Savior from IRB English Radio and our discussion concerning the different companions and helpers of Imam Mahdi, the Last Savior. How come that this person actually finds and focuses these weak hadith? In case, even us, if we want to start searching for the weak hadith in the other side, in other schools, there are plenty of them that actually show a great contradiction with the basics and principles. So how come that this brother actually comes and starts such a thing?
When we are talking about a Wahhabi scholar, we cannot expect him to be fair in quoting the narrations and in his understanding of the narrations. For sure, they are looking for any excuse to attack the Shia school of thought and Shia doctrine, so we cannot expect them to be fair. But maybe for some people who are searching for the truth, if they mention such narrations, maybe this is because of the fact that they are mentioned in famous Shia sources of hadith. Mm-hmm. For example, Kamaluddin or Ghaiba by Nu'mani. And, but the point is that, as you rightly mentioned, as Shia, we can find many, many, many weird narrations. I'm not in the secondary sources of Sunni.
You're in the first sources.
The most authentic sources is Sahih Bukhari, and then Sahih Muslim, and other books of Siha Sitta. The very fact that they are mentioned in some of the Shia famous sources doesn't prove anything. Mm-hmm. No Shia scholar can claim that even in Al-Kafi we do not have, I mean, any weak narrations. For sure there are some weak narrations, even in Al-Kafi, which is the most authentic Shia source of the narration. So a true scholar needs to not only narrate the narrations from famous Shia and Sunni collections of the book from both denominations, but also to examine the chain of the narration, as you mentioned.
Very true.
But answering these doubts of this Wahhabi scholar, as I mentioned, he has referred to three doubts.
Yeah.
The first point is that he claims that all the companions of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, they are Ajam, they are non-Arabs. In one of the previous episodes, we talked about this doubt and we answered that this is not true.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, in this part of the book, first he claims that all the companions of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, they are Ajam, they are non-Arabs. But later, in the same part of his book, he mentions the names of some of the companions of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and their nationality. For example, some of them, they are from Syria, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentions the names. So how come first you claim that all of them, they are Ajam or Iranian, for example? Later, you mention the names and nationalities to be from, for example,
and Syria. Even a part of Iranian are also Arabs.
Yeah, that's another point.
It can be also, I mean, even the Iranians can be Arabs as well.
But he has used the word Ajam. Maybe he can claim that I mean non-Arabs from Iran or any other country. So we have answered this doubt previously. Secondly, we come to this part where he claimed that there are some Jewish influence in Shi'i doctrines.
Yeah.
He has referred to the narration that reads that after the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, 25 people will come from the nation and qawm of Musa alayhi salam. And then some people from Ashabul Kahf and Yusha and so on and so forth. So first of all, the first answer is that some of the names that are given in these narrations, they are the people who are greatly admired in the Noble Book of Quran.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Ashab al-Kahf, the people of the cave. So if a person claims that people of the cave will help Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, it doesn't mean that they are Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for sure, they were true Muslims. And if had they seen the Holy Prophet, they would convert to the religion of Islam. So when we talk about Ashab al-Kahf, it means the people who are following the truth in any time. In that time, they were following their religion.
I think it's quite easy to refer to Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna din indallah al-Islam."
Exactly,
so
that's the point.
Whether it was Moses or it was Jesus the Christ, so the deen and the religion was Islam, mm-hmm. even at the time of them. Because if in case Moses lived at the time of the Prophet, he accepted Islam
exactly.
as well. And the Prophet, in case he was living at the time of Musa, he was practicing
mm-hmm.
the same thing.
And one of the verses in chapter Al-A'raf, verse 159, refers to the fact that some of the people from the nation of Musa, alayhi salam, they were following the truth. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن قوم موسى, among the nation of Musa, alayhi salam, أُمَّةٌ يَهْدُونَ بِالْحَقِّ. There is a nation, there is a group who are guided, mm-hmm. and they guide other people toward the truth. وَبِهِ يَعْدِلُونَ. Regarding the other names which are mentioned in this narration, one of them is Yusha, the vicegerent of Musa alayhi salam. Let me refer to one narration in Sahih Bukhari, volume 4, page 127, which reads that Yusha was the vicegerent of Musa alayhi salam, and he is Sahib Musa, who has been mentioned in the Noble Book of Quran.
Mm-hmm.
He was a prophet according to some Sunni sources. For example, Al-Mustadrak by Hakim Haskani, volume 2, page 139. Inshallah, we'll continue to mention that to consider some people from the nation of Musa as the companions of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, there is nothing wrong with that, inshallah.
Thank you very much, dear Sheikh Murtada, for your scholarly explanation and enlightenment. And you respect listeners for staying tuned and listening to us. And the topic of our discussion, as you know well, was that if there is any Jew among the companions and followers of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam at the time that he appears and his revolution starts, this was the discussion that we started to talk about. And inshallah, we shall continue the discussion in our upcoming session. I would like to invite you to join us then again. Till then, I leave you in Allah's protection. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Allahumma.
In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. O Allah, protect your representative, Al-Hujjah bin Al-Hasan, Imam al-Mahdi and send salutation upon him and his ancestors, now as well as all the times. Be his guardian, protector, guide and assistance. Help him in his path and be watchful for him till you let him rule over the earth willingly and cause him to live in it for a long time.
حتى تسكنه أرضك.